would always share meals.
And I remember coming home one day, and she was sitting in the living room, our living room, and she had cookbooks all around her. She had gone to the library. And she said, "Oh, wait until you see all these awesome things I found." And she's combing through the cookbooks. I said, "Yeah, okay, what are we gonna have for dinner?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I realized I looked at these cookbooks, and I'm gonna have to go to the store for any of the ingredients, and they all take a long time, so let's just order pizza." And I was really bummed, right? Because I wanted some out of those cookbooks. But then I realized, you know, this is how life is often, right? We look at things that look really good and sound really good, and then we realize they take a lot of work, and so we decide to order pizza instead, right? This happens to all of us. We are constantly deciding what is worth our time, what is worth our energy, what is too hard and we don't want to put effort into it. I was at the gym this past weekend. I did a yoga class, and you know, that was good by me. And at the end of it, the instructor of this certain yoga class loved, in the middle of like what I would consider already a difficult pose, she would like go into a handstand. And at the end of it, she said, "Oh, if you guys want to learn and do handstands, I've got a friend coming to do a clinic next week. You guys can come and do it." And I thought, not going to happen with me, right? Like that, not worth my time and effort. Too hard, got other things I'm going to do. I can live my life without being able to do handstands in yoga class. But we're always doing that. What's worth it? What's worth our time? What's worth our physical exertion? And today, as I read our gospel, I started thinking, you know, we even do that with Jesus, don't we? What's worth our time? How much of our effort will we put into doing the things that Jesus asks us to do? Today in our gospel, we hear the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been hearing it now for 3 weeks. It was quite a nice, lengthy sermon. And he was up on the mount, and we've heard the blessings that he gave to those who thought they were not blessed. We heard how to pray last week in the Lord's Prayer. He was constantly telling these people in the sermon what he had come for. He calls them salt and light, and that they are going to be a part of his ministry. And now today, although it feels in some ways like all these random little sayings, I started looking at it and I thought, this is kind of like his wrap-up. It's basically like he said, "I've told you all the things you need to do, but now you've got to decide if you're going to do them." In the reading we have for today, it starts with that verse people love to use, "Don't judge, lest ye be judged." And this is true, right? This is something I think we can all nod at. Like, yeah, that sounds so good. I was at a sport, because we're really good at judging. I was at a sporting event yesterday, a youth basketball game. And at one point, one of the coaches said to the ref, "You know, you're not calling the fouls. You didn't call a foul on some kid on the other team." So the coach was mad. To which the ref said to the coach, "Yeah, but I didn't call your kid out in the 3-second lane either. If you want me to start calling fair, I'll call fair." And I thought, uh-oh, this is not what that coach intended, right? But it was so clear as I watched this, it was very easy. And it becomes very easy when we have, like, for instance, a sports team. We always see the fouls and the bad things the other team is doing, right? And how the ref is unfair to our team. But we don't often switch it around and notice the other. We are so good at judging others. We are so good at pointing out how things are unfair for us. And Jesus, I think, knew that even as he was calling his disciples, right? You could see somebody walking away from this sermon he gave and saying something like, "Oh man, that Jesus, he was so good and he's right. We should be better to the poor. And you know, Peter next door has a pretty big house. And if he would just sell that house, he could give lots of money to the poor," right? That's the kind of thing people do. We walk away even from something Jesus says and then talk about how everybody else could be doing a better job following Jesus without looking at our own lives. Now, Jesus, when he says this, doesn't sort of sweep us into a moral relativism. He's not saying there's not good and bad, there's not right and wrong. There is. And we should still pay attention to that in the world. But instead of condemning other people because they've gotten it wrong, perhaps we need to look at our own lives and see how we could better be following Jesus. Then Jesus does the do unto others, right? This is what we call the golden rule often. do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think, again, the disciples probably all nodded, yeah, right on, Jesus, that is so true. But I think what we often think when we see that is because we want people to treat us better, right? So-and-so is not treating me like they want to be treated. And we don't switch it around. It's actually hard to treat other people as we want to be treated. We treat them not quite as well, maybe, as we want to be treated. But these are the things that Jesus calls his disciples to, and they are hard. In fact, it says, the road is hard that leads to life. This is what the gospel said. The road is hard that leads to life. And I think that leading to life, Jesus was talking about following him. The road is hard that follows Jesus. And these are not words I want to hear. I want to hear that it's really easy to follow Jesus. I want to think that if I just show up at church, somehow my life will be magically easier and things will go well for me. And there are churches that will tell you that. But my friends, that is not biblical. And it is not what Jesus said. It is not a magic potion to show up at church and all of a sudden things will be easier for you. In fact, if you take the words of Jesus seriously, your life might get harder. Because Jesus asks you to do hard things. The road that leads to life is hard. But it's so good. We see Jesus telling his disciples that, warning them. Jesus knows that he is on his way to the cross, and if the disciples follow him, things will be hard. And we see these stories other places in our Bible, right? Early, before Jesus even, with Moses. Moses could have been a very happy shepherd working for his father-in-law out in the fields. And yet God comes to him and tells him, I'm going to have you go and lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the desert. And he's got this, all of a sudden, this band of unruly people who don't listen to him. He could have been a very happy shepherd, right? But God called him. And then we see after Jesus, the people who are spreading the word of God, they don't have it easy. Paul, in fact, we were reading Paul in Bible study on Tuesday. This man loves to talk about all the things that happened to him. I was persecuted. I was imprisoned. I was shackled. You just fill in the blank and it happened to Paul, right? Over and over, what he did was not easy. But it all leads to life. I was recently talking with someone who is in AA. And he was talking about the step. If you know AA, there's a step in AA where you make amends. You go to people who, in the midst of your disease, you've hurt in some way, and you try to make amends for what has happened. And he told me how hard it was, how it was one of the hardest things he'd ever done. And I said, well, how did you find the courage to do it? And he said, well, I realized that it was the only way I was going to stay alive. Only way he could stay alive was to do the most difficult thing he'd ever done in his life. Go to these people and make amends. It is hard. The things God calls us to are hard, but they lead to life. They are so hard, in fact, that we can't do them alone. And so this is why we cling to Christ. Moses didn't ever go alone. God went with him in a pillar, right? Clouds and fire, and God was always there. And Paul, he loves talking about all of the things that happened to him, but what else does he always say? It was never me, but it was Christ in me and through me who survived these things. He knew he never went alone, and we never do either. Christ goes with us. And then we also rely on the people around us to walk the road. The community of Christ, it matters. We need people, especially when the road is hard. I was recently had to go to a meeting somewhere, and it was going to be a hard one just emotionally for me. And I literally had someone with me who we were standing outside the door of this house pushing me in the back. Right? me, to get me through the door. And of course, it was a meeting. It was beautiful. It needed to happen. But I was too afraid to do it by myself. And I needed someone there to push me through the door. Literally, we need those people. We need each other on this road. The road is hard that leads to life. But we have Christ, and we have one another. As Jesus sat on that mountain, he was telling the people this. The road is hard. And the people sat there that day and said, yeah, Jesus, this is awesome. But there were many who decided it was too hard and they wouldn't follow him to the cross. And there are many of us today who say, yeah, those things Jesus says, they're awesome. But we also decide that the road is too hard, that the things Jesus asks us to do will take too much effort. What are you willing to do in the name of Jesus? What hard roads are you willing to walk for love, for the things that Jesus stood for? Jesus thought you were worth his very life. What in this world is worth yours?